The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen, second hour of the National Intel Report. I want to finish up this segment with Salbucci. I mispronounced his name, Salbucci, in his forecast that he made this year about, and there is a transition from globalization. That's why they're not afraid to talk about it. Globalization, what they're not talking about is in-your-face world order, new world order. He continues.
Take a clue. The transition strategy goes back to what the old alchemists of the Middle Ages used to call solve et coagula, in other words, dissolve and bring it about again in a new form. For 20 years, globalization has been trying to meet the various challenges imposed on the nation state, with the war on terror, health catastrophes, environmental catastrophes, social catastrophes, financial catastrophes, all geared on showing that not one single nation state can cope with those catastrophes, not even the United States. That's why they will require world government, which I believe will be based, its main mind will be operating from London, which brings together the crown, the nobility and company, because the British crown is connected with the Dutch, Belgian, Spanish, crowns, the non-ruling French, German, and Italian crowns, and even the sheikhs of the Middle East from the oil-grabbing countries. It also brings together Freemasonry, the ancient Scottish and other rites. The City of London brings in key banks and naturally the Bank of England. The Church of England is there. Psychological warfare entities like MI5, MI6, the Tavistock Institute, all linked to the CIA, Mossad, and other entities operate from there. The British East India Company, 410 years of imperial experience. That's enough. How will the transition come about?
We'll play the rest of that throughout the program. I would say that was pretty accurate, the predictions. There are variables in this, and there are variables because, well, stuff happens in life. As he said, and he even had the head of the UN, Kofi Annan, say it, this globalization, you know, we should stop calling it the New World Order because it's in disorder. Well, and it was supposed to appear that way. Folks, it's supposed to appear that, well, you know, global government, oh, they're never going to be able to do that. We, you know, it's just businesses along with countries that want to do a little business. And, you know, you people are just wild-eyed conspiracy theorists. Really? I wish that were true. Then I could go out, go get a job, go play golf on the weekends. I don't even play golf, but I'll go play golf on the weekends. You know, go jet setting and traveling around the country and go lay on the beaches in Hawaii. Oh, no. No, no, no. The linchpin to their global dominance, folks, is going to be the United States. They have to smash it. This is why I called what the bankers just pulled off, the constructive fraud. You thought that was an accident? Too many people looking the other way? You need to go soak your head if that's what you think. Because you ain't thinking at all. It is real. It's palpable. It's going on. Wow. Why do you think your freedom and liberty is going on in smoke? Because a few people that are just a little socialist-minded, they just want a little bit more control, are doing this? Or are they being directed? Take a look at what's going on around the world. What is mirroring here in the United States is going on all over the planet. Yeah. I'll accept the accidental view of history. When pigs wearing lipstick start to fly. This is real. We're real. You're real. Our lives are real. Let's take our freedom and liberty back. There's people around the world who are fighting this globalization process. All eyes are cast to the United States. Why, in God's name, do you think there was so much interest in Ron Paul? People around the world were watching this guy very closely, hoping against hope that this man would actually get the presidency of the United States. That wasn't going to happen. But they watched because this was an educational process. Every time that there is a victory by winning a battle. That's not winning the war. As long as we have people that think that you should not have an opinion, you should not have self-determination, you should not have freedom, there is always going to be some clown sitting around dreaming up ways that they can control everything, including you. Hmm. 800-724-2719. We can save ourselves. I don't know about saving the rest of the planet. They got to do their work, but we need to do ours here. And for the successive generations and your children coming up right now, if we do not stop these people here in this country, we don't have a chance. Now do you see why I always, and I don't say that the second American Revolution is not a reality, but there are people out there that are pushing for it that aren't working on the right side. Because they know damn right well that the second American Revolution broke out in this country right now, it would be crushed. That would be a fast-track scenario to their end-game scenario. They're hoping for that. What they are not prepared for are logical people that are looking at the problem and going, okay, we need to educate other people about this. We need to put a stop to this. Enough of this. No, they want you running down the street at Mach 3 with your hair on fire with your AK ablazing. Because then, my friend, you've just made yourself a target. They're not prepared for you working with other people, working with groups, getting our government that is in our backyard once again back on the side of the people. Let us keep our money. Let us keep our freedom. Let us keep our liberty. And we'll say what is right for our life. Don't direct me as to what to buy, how to act, how to dress, or anything else. Not interested. But I am interested in walking as a free man on this planet and not some abject slave to some yahoo that thinks for the betterment of mankind that everything from cradle to grave needs to be managed. And they'll even decide when you go to your grave. Not a pleasant picture. But there is a chance. We're going to see if people want freedom. We're going to see if they want liberty. We're going to see if they want to roll up their sleeves and go to work. Because if you don't, and you're sitting there eyeballing your AK sitting in the corner right now, along with your food stores, you'll only survive a while longer. The country will be destroyed, and eventually you and your prodigy will be hunted down like dogs and killed. Do you hear what I am telling you? Coming up in just a couple of minutes. Okay, I have Sam Kennedy coming up. And, folks, I don't know about you. I'm a little prejudiced. I think this happens to be the best network that is out there. And I don't like to think of ourselves as being the alternative news source. No, we need to make this mainstream. We need to put the matrix, well-moneyed and agenda-driven media out there. We'll put them on notice because we're going to roll right over the top of them. Because the only thing they know how to do is lie for their corporate masters that are driving us like lemmings over the cliff to global governance. Not interested. I'm interested in hundreds of thousands, millions of people hearing this message in this country. And we can do it. And I'm not afraid of big guns and bang bangs, folks. I'm not a coward. But I know one damn thing. Unless we have more people that earn support, unless we have more educated people out there, they're not going to go along with this. We need a lot of friends. We need a lot of Americans, a lot of patriots, true patriots. And when I say true patriots, I don't mean because they don a uniform and go kill some guy that's wearing something that looks like a towel on his head. Okay? That's not what our fighting men are designed to do. Not initially. Did we roll over to England to go fight the king? No, we fought the king on the soil that he thought it was his. And we rebelled against that, started our own country. The second American Revolution hopefully will be fired without a shot, because the first one that does is going to lose. I don't know how to stress that. And if you're thinking right now, oh, John's just a chicken crap kind of guy, you're wrong. But I'm not going to get killed for absolutely nothing. Does that mean I'm going to pull the plug when I think things get dicey? No way, Jose. What I'm in this for is to restore the rule of law, the Constitution, which I know was not perfect. But folks, it's a start. It is a damn good start. It's a thing that started this country. For a lot of generations, people lived out their lives, productive lives. They raised their children in relative peace, educated them, clothed them, taught them. They went on to enjoy their lives and what God's given us. And they, in turn, would raise their children to pass on their knowledge and what they've accumulated in their life, handed down to the next generation. That's how nations stay around on the face of this planet. Not by going to war with each other over for what reason? And I'm not an anti-war kind of person. I'll throw down with you in a New York second. You threaten me, I'm going to take you out. But unbridled power is just as dangerous. Unbridled passions are just as dangerous. I guarantee you right now, I can go out and pick a fight with Round Rock police and I'd be dead inside of 3 minutes or less. Why would I want to do that? Well, I don't. Now, do I want these people with their heads out of their respective whatevers? Yes, I do. Do I want them following the Constitution? I don't know if they're capable of it. That's why I told the Round Rock police one day, I said, I hope you guys got good records, because I want to see the Round Rock Police Department go out of business, as well as every other police department around the country. Oh, John, are you crazy? No. I want the county sheriffs and the deputies patrolling. I want peace officers that know what the hell a constitution is. And some of these people are falling down, or haven't you noticed? But these people are directly elected by the people. They violate the people's rights. Get your bag, bud, and get the hell out of town. There's a new sheriff in town, and his name is Reggie Hammond. Sam Kennedy. Hello, Sam. You there?
Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good. How are you?
Hanging in there.
Good. Thank you for having me on the program.
Hey, not a problem. Hey, first out of the chute, let me say that on Sundays, we've got Dr. Sam Kennedy. He comes on at 7 p.m., 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time. Sam, what are some of the things that you talk about on your program, and why is the Sam Kennedy program important?
Well, I tell you, Judd, there are very few limits to the things we talk about, but the program is geared towards action rather than just talk. And coming up, we've been promising people for about a year now that we are going to be bringing forth a genuine remedy for the problems that they face, for the problems of being molested on the highways and being threatened and arrested and assaulted for lack of a piece of paper that identifies them as a subject class citizen of the state, for the tax problems that they face, for the foreclosure problems that they face, for having borrowed back their own money. And we're working on a remedy in concert with others and some people very high up in this de facto government. And we're going to be bringing that forth over the next few weeks. So those are some of the things we do, but none compared to what's coming over the next month or so.
Well, and, you know, I have said on the air many times, Sam, I know that there's problems. I know we're going to have a heap more problems in the future. But I'm not here just to report on the daily problems. I'm sick of the problems. I'm aware of the problems. What we need are the solutions. And who out there is working towards solutions?
Well, that's exactly right. And we have been somewhat proactive The people, our audience is a very elite group of patriots, and I mean that in the best sense of the word, who are on the front lines and have used all kinds of procedures and philosophies to attempt to make the point to the corporate officials that they are not subjects of the United States, but they are members of the sovereign people, and the officials work for them. We've had some successes and failures. Some of our listeners have discovered the most amazing power within themselves by virtue of their faith in the Lord as absolute property of the Creator. And we've had our listeners go into federal courts, arrest judges, the judges run out, and our listeners walk out free men. We've had people walk into state court situations numerous times and settle the claims or the absence of claims out of there successfully. However, it's all, if you look at the freedom movement over the last 77 years, you see that things are heading to a crescendo, which is very well documented in Revelation. That time is here. It began December 21st, and we have 3 years to finish this ministry. And as sure as the Lord is looking down, we will finish that ministry, John.
Well, and from a spiritual standpoint, there are a lot of people, Sam, that they think just by saying a prayer and throwing a coin in the church's collection plate that they're good with God, and God's going to protect their every move. Sam, I see this as, you know, and envision God however you want to. You know, is he the austere, beautiful man with the flowing white hair and beard sitting in a marbled throne? Very well could be. We don't know. We're not going to know until we get there. But he's sitting up there with this perplexed look on his face, with his head in his hands, going, why do you keep praying to me? I gave you everything that I knew how to give you. Start working for yourselves. You can whistle and pray while you work, but go to work.
And I'm pleased to report that the people are at work. Folks, it may sound illogical, it may even sound disingenuous, but the fact is, when they created the straw man trust account, you, the living man, never ceased to exist, did you? And when they created religious organizations on the signature of the officer of a church, and they created religious corporations, those church body politics never ceased to exist. They just forgot they existed. For every legal fiction, dead corporate procedural phantom entity that they created, the original living entity that provides the energy for the fiction to operate still exists. And nowhere is that more true than when you're dealing with the de jure institutions of law that have been preempted by the de facto institutions of equity and admiralty and commercial law venues. And John, we have figured out, we have been told by high-ranking officials of the highest order what the four steps are to re-inhabit those de jure institutions. We will do it. We're weeks away. It will happen. We will be the authorities, and they will be taking their orders from us.
We the people. The first three words in the Declaration of Independence. We the people. We were designed to be the government. We chose out of that informed electorate. And when I'm saying informed electorate, yeah, you got to know what a constitution is, although it is not perfect. They have ignored that due to the Administrative Procedures Act of 1946. You know, Sam, there's a real reason why you can't even walk into a municipal court and argue with a judge about freedom of movement. You can't walk into a federal court and argue the Constitution. You can't go to a circuit court and argue the Constitution. That's because they fixed the game.
That's very true, John. And the fact is that they don't have authority to correct the game. Give you an example. Maybe 3-4 years ago, former Congressman John Sensenbrenner, who was chairman at one time of the House Judiciary Committee, when they were debating the Military Commissions Act, stepped before the microphone and said the following in similar words. He said, everyone in this body understands that there are two forms of habeas corpus. The form that was written, the constitutional form that Congress cannot touch, and the statutory form that Congress wrote and can do anything with that it wants. And when he said that, for me, it was like a light going off. He confessed what we already knew, but he manifested in such powerful language that I knew right at that point that the reason the habeases that we've put in, including some that I've done directly to the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, the reason they take those and they send them back and they ask for registration fees and tell you to follow the local rules of the Supreme Court, of the United States Supreme Court, instead of the one Supreme Court with a small s that is sanctioned in the Constitution, is because in their territorial jurisdiction within the District of Columbia, they have no authority to step backward and actually entertain any in-law pleadings. We're going to remedy that. We're coming. We're coming in all 50 states, and that nonsense is about to end.
Well, and I'll tell you what has it meant to you to be doing a program on this network?
Oh, it means nothing. Are you kidding, John? If not for Republic Broadcasting, if not for Republic Broadcasting and the commitment and the sacrifices you've made to make this venue available, the momentum that began when you were kind enough to let us bring Take No Prisoners to the network, which then started all of the remedies and all of the buzz when we started holding those meetings where hundreds of people were showing up, and that means where they were doing at-law actions, commercial procedures, sovereign procedures, and the myriad of people that took that little seeding of the acorns and grew into powerful sovereigns, members of the sovereign people, who have developed remedies, who have expanded our knowledge, who have sacrificed in blood, sweat, and time in jail, to bring us to the point we're at now is immeasurable. The network does the Lord's work, and it has made an invaluable contribution to the ability to bring forth what we were about to bring forth. That's how much I think of it, Jack.
Well,
and I don't know if the people really understand the sacrifices that you have made to provide this kind of a forum for people.
No, the one thing that they do know for sure, that they tune in every day to listen to their favorite host. There are people that still have not listened to other people on this network, and they should, but a lot of them we'll listen to a variety of different hosts on this network talking about a myriad of different subjects, and especially remedy. That has been lacking. We've all been complaining about the problems, but the direct action has not been taken to come up with the solution, and that's what we're here for. We're not here just to give you the bad news. We're here to give you the solution.
That's right, and that's why the archives are so valuable. You know, people write me all the time, and they bring forth last-minute situations, bless their hearts. They've gotten themselves into trouble by moving prematurely. Their knowledge and their skill level didn't yet qualify them to undertake what they did, but they felt they had no choice. So now they're in a bind, and they're facing perhaps eviction the following week, a hearing sentencing the following week, or the day later. And I get these emails constantly, as I'm sure you do.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things I can tell people is, if you go into the archives, and I can't talk to the other programs, but I can certainly talk about Take No Prisoners, the ability to use all sorts of instruments and force them using their statutes to accept them, the ability to accept their process instead of arguing, the use of administrative process proctored by a notary such that they can't run away from paperwork, all of these procedures are there in the archives. Take No Prisoners has probably 2 to 250 hours worth of archives. When we send out our emails weekly or biweekly, they include an index from previous years so you can find those programs fairly easily. It is a wealth of solution-driven knowledge, and it's not, things do become outdated. The United States responds, and they decide they'll take a particular posture, but what's really going on, John, with all of these remedies, especially our listening audience, on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time and 7 p.m. Central Time, is that we have brought forth to the judiciary and the administrative officers of the United States choices of conscience, no different than what were brought forth by Mandela and Martin Luther King and Gandhi and other men of peace, and even JFK, other men who believed in peace and in conscience. And every time a judge sends, knowingly sends an elderly couple off their property, authorizes the sheriffs to come in, an old blind couple, an old man, an old woman, every time they send an 80-year-old to jail for a tax fraud that the judge knows was not committed and is only being, the sentence is only being committed because of his commitment to holding the system together. Every time they do that, it is the worst day of their professional life, and it cuts to the core of their bones, because they then have to go home and they have to eat dinner with their children and grandchildren. And I'll tell you what was told to us by a high-ranking judicial official only weeks ago, and this is bona fide truth. He said, we took a poll among the federal bench, and over 50% of the judges are sympathetic to your cause. That's like the artillery bombarding the Republican Guard for 3 weeks before they invaded Iraq. We've been tenderizing them with their own conscience intentionally, and what's coming is the final solution to these problems, and it will be irresistible because it will be completely lawful, and it will be recognized by all, and they have already pre-agreed in private negotiations.
All righty. Sam Kennedy, your program is on Sundays, 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time. Success to you, sir. Success to this network, and success with getting this country back in its constitutional rails, because we sure have been railroaded. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, John. Thanks again for everything that you've done for myself and everybody else, for the whole Patriot Freedom community. Thank you again.
Thanks, Sam.
Dr. And God bless you, John.
Thank you. Dr. Sam Kennedy, folks. I have a tally here. We've been doing a pledge drive for 1 hour and 27 minutes and 27 seconds. The goal is $8,596.69. We've collected a grand total of $423. I'm going to wear myself out doing this. People, come on, man. Come on. This is not a joke. This is for all your marbles, man. This is for everything. For yourselves, for your posterity, for your children. We're doing the work that is necessary to get done. If you won't support it, we won't be here. You going to tune to Micro Effect? You going to tune to Genesis Communications? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? $423? Come on, folks. Come on. This is the second part of Adrian Salbucci. Just to let you know, if the Grand Masters get their game plan into action, what this world is going to look like very near term. Researcher, author, speaker, and founder of the Argentine Second Republic Movement, or the MSRA. Here is the second installment to this.
10 years of imperial experience. That's enough. How will the transition come about? The transition will mainly be a converging of technological controls on the economy, on work, on education, on the military, even on entertainment to prepare generational change. I'll give you an example. We have an Orwellian, from George Orwell, example right in front of our noses. Barack Obama being given the Nobel Peace Prize while he is sending troops out to Afghanistan and bombing Afghanistan and Pakistan. This is typical war is peace news speak from the 1984 novel by George Orwell. This will be a gradual, it's been a gradual, creeping, crisis-filled process. We're in the middle, we're in the transition. German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche used to say in Thus Spake Zarathustra, when he talks about a man walking on a tightrope, he said, it's a dangerous going across, a dangerous on the way, a dangerous looking back, a dangerous shuddering and stopping. That's the transition we are going nowadays through. So what should we do? Stay alert. The powers that be, the New World Order elite, call them whatever you like, the One Worlders, the Illuminati, the Freemasons, Zionist conspiracy, the name is of no import. They are a veritable Leviathan, calling themselves by different names for many centuries now. They're like the Mafia, who had different families. Remember the Mafia? The Caponis, the Cosa Nostra, the Camorra, the Lanskys, the Siegels, the drug cartels, even the Corleones, if you go to the movie, which is quite good. Different names, but a common purpose and a common modus operandi, which is their fingerprint. And we find that fingerprint and that footprint all over the place. They feel that they are the chosen ones, whatever you call them, whatever name you give them. They feel that they are chosen and that they have the right to impose their will, their objectives, and their interests upon the rest of us. It's a discriminating minority. We the people are all being horrendously discriminated against the world over by this tiny but extremely powerful and centuries-old minority which is out to eradicate you and me. That's their final solution, their Endlösung. That would be the Holocaust of mankind. Even if that all means killing or allowing 2 or 3 billion people to die through a very complex and macro-managed combination of war, ecological disaster, political ineptness, corruption, pandemics, economic and financial collapse, social disruption, call it what you may, it will all come together. So we the people must make sure that they don't get away with it, because they have an Achilles heel, a weak point. They have all the power, but they don't have all the time. We have very little power, but we have all the time. So in closing, this is December 2009, let me share with you a dozen global events which I believe are transitional triggers that are being used to lead us to world government and that we should watch out for between 2010 and 2012. That's 12 to 36 months in the future. It's a dozen, but it's really 10 key factors plus 2 that I've added on, and you'll see why. They are all linked, related, and interfaced. And the whole of what I'm about to describe is much more than the sum of its parts. First crisis event, the financial crisis, the financial collapse. They will be collapsing the United States dollars. The Federal Reserve Board is doing that on purpose. President Obama has not taken one single positive measure to stop this. The G20 is a farce, and they are building up trillion-dollar deficits, which can only lead to the destruction of the U.S. dollar. What is their objective? To usher in a world currency that will be gold-backed, and that through a complex mechanism will allow mass losses to be transferred to other geographies and other sectors of the population. Why are they waiting for this? They took 2009 because they've taken advantage of 2009 so that their good friends, the banks and specific companies and specific interests, could get their act right so that when the time comes and they say, here comes Big Bang, they will be in the best position. This is one of the 3 key factors used to justify the world government as informed by the Financial Times on 8th December 2008. The second crisis event, it will be dragged by the financial meltdown, which will take us to economic collapse. The economic collapse will affect vast sectors of the population. It will bring mass unemployment. It will be a breakdown of the basic manufacturing, supply, and distribution chain. What is their objective? To discipline people into obeying, to bring into us the terror of unemployment and of debts, of collapsed social security, even justifying that we all be embedded with radio frequency identity chips. The third part, social upheavals. The financial collapse and the economic collapse will bring social upheavals and social and civil war, especially in the United States, the European Union, and elsewhere. What is their objective? The militarization of society, suspend constitutional rights, troops in the streets, full gun control, and again, radio frequency identification chips. Fourth, pandemics. The H1N1 flu are a new intelligent virus. They're working on that. What is their objective? Mandatory vaccination, generalized terror, which will bring people under the fold to obey the authorities, radio frequency identification chips, and the new coming intelligent viruses will be able to select specific strains of DNA, which means selecting specific races, specific ethnic groups, and specific geographies. The fifth crisis that they're working on, environmental global warming. We're seeing this at the Copenhagen conference. It's the Al Gore factor. It will be one of the three key factors used to justify world government. The sixth key event, terrorism. Expect a major mega attack with a weapon of mass destruction. I don't know if it'll be chemical, biological, or nuclear, in the U.S. or in Europe or elsewhere. It will justify a renewed war on terror. The seventh key factor, war in the Middle East. We've been saying this for years because they've been announcing it for years. Israel attacks Iran because of the nuclear program. Russia and China back Iran. Iran retaliates against Israel with bringing death and destruction back to the Israelis. Israel will drag the United States into that war because all the Western media will be in favor of Israel. A major war ensues. What will happen after that? I really have no idea. I often wonder if they are, the powers that be, looking for a major showdown with China and Russia in case China and Russia don't agree to share world government with them. Israel has been announcing this triggering event of a unilateral military attack against Iran for years now, at least since 2006. Eighth, a nuclear accident. A minor city in the United States is devastated by a Chernobyl-type nuclear accident. This will justify that no national state can control all their resources and that the world government has to take over control of all nuclear power, civilian and military, and it will be a first step towards full control of all global resources by the coming world government. Ninth, the assassination of a key public figure. During globalization, there were almost no assassinations of really important public figures, except perhaps for Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin in 1995. I think the world government might just have up its sleeve the assassination of the highest leader of one of the industrial nations, you know who I'm referring to, or perhaps a crown, a king or a queen, or perhaps even the religious leader of one of the largest religions in the world. That will promote unimaginable turmoil. Number 10, beat up rogue states. Nations not willing to go along with the world government will be made an example of. We've seen it with Iraq, we've seen it with Afghanistan, we might see it with Iran soon, and I'm wondering in the future, will we see it with Venezuela, with Korea, with Ecuador, with Bolivia? 11 and 12 are two very special ones because I think that they are prime examples of psychological warfare. So number 11 is a staged, numinous religious event. Globalization has been very materialistic, just like communism. The world government will bring in a new age type atmosphere where ecumenical movements will play a key role. That's what Rome is there for. A world religion will start to appear. And I wouldn't be surprised if they staged electronically the second coming of the Messiah, which would blend in very nicely to the rebuilding of the third temple in Jerusalem. And number 12, last but not least, I'm wondering, a staged landing or contact or news of the presence of extraterrestrial aliens amongst us. And you will say, well, what would they do that for? It will be another justification that we need to rally all the peoples of the world to have one sole unified representation with the people from other planets. It was in the old Iron Mountain report from 1967. They've been working on this idea for ages, and look at how Hollywood has been preparing us with all these films. Sun Tzu, the Chinese strategist, said in The Art of War, "Know thyself and know your enemy, and you will win all battles. Know thyself, but don't know your enemy, and for every victory you will suffer a defeat." And third, "Neither know thyself nor your enemy, and you will be defeated all the time." Why do I say this? We need to know who we are, and we need to, above all, know the enemy.
All righty. We'll play the last segment of this. It's just a few minutes. But Salbucci put this thing together. And he is pretty doggone accurate. You know, it's not going to be an accident, folks, that Jerusalem is going to be the site for the designated world ruler. Do you think for a moment that they're going to put their global governance scheme together and they're not going to have their head honcho? Then you don't understand what they're trying to accomplish. Because there's going to be a hell of a lot less people that you have to govern and Why would you have to have separate governments and institutions if we're all going to be working under the same law, under the same directives? And these are not going to be elected people. They're going to be bureaucrats. They're going to be installed by the power elite. Don't need presidents or governors or senators or legislators anymore in this country. Why would you need them? You already have your marching orders. You know what's required of you. Just go to work. Earn money. Be taxed. Be happy. Joy, joy feelings and happy, happy thoughts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, thank you. Got R.J. Hender. Hello, R.J. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Hanging in there. We're in the middle of a pledge drive. The wife just ran off with my sheet. Bring my sheet back! at any rate, your program is on in the mornings, 7 to 9 a.m., Monday through Friday, and that's Central Time.
Yeah, California time, 5 o'clock in the morning.
Is anybody even awake?
Yeah, actually, we get calls from Alaska and California. I got calls this morning from Australia and Canada. Listeners all over the place, Tarpian.
I'm sorry, I was yelling at my wife there for a second, RJ. I had my headphones off. What did you just say?
I said I had callers this morning from Australia and Canada, had callers from Germany and California as well. All over the world, people are listening to RBN and tuning in and participating.
Well, they are casting a very inquisitive eye toward America, because I think they know, RJ, deep in their hearts, that if this country goes, any hope or salvation, freedom or liberty for anybody on this planet is a distant memory.
I think you are correct there, but I think you're wrong at the same time. Kissinger, years ago, said that America will lead the rest of the world into a new world order. So America really is the last bastion of freedom, but this Freemasonry NWO agenda, they're just marching forward as if the rest of us just don't matter.
Well, we don't. we're not in the long-term plans for these people.
You know, I had a caller this morning. It just astounded me. It's a mother, and she lives in a small neighborhood in a remote area in Utah, of all places. And she said that she, oh my, this is kind of going out there for some people. She said that she felt like God speak to her, pray for an end to this health care reform. Just pray for the end of the health care reform. So for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, she's been praying, right? She's got 10 kids. She's just a mom. She's got a job, but she's been praying, like what she said she felt moved upon to do. And it's interesting, we take a look at, and we hear all the time in the patriot community, the end is coming, the end is coming, the end of the world is coming, so just, you know, get in line. And I'm thinking some of us have quit already. Some of us are getting out of the way. Some of us are fighting fights that have no win in sight. Some of us, like Sam, are fighting fights that have results that we can count on. But this lady in faith just did what she felt impressed to do, and she's been praying and praying and praying, and she, it was amazing for me, for example, taking a look at Ted Kennedy. One Senate seat, the difference that one Senate seat can make. And I'm thinking, did God have a hand to play in Ted Kennedy's passing away? And then these Democrats, these leftists, these fascists who are moving across this country, they thought they had Massachusetts in their pocket. They thought they had a win before the elections even took place, right? And now that one man, Ted Kennedy, who's now gone, has been replaced by a man who will not approve of this health care reform. I figure it's a whole new Patriot Act, okay? This health care reform, what a bunch of garbage. It's another Patriot Act, okay? If it was about health care reform, I could write 5 pages to make the reformations that the health care industry needs. It's not about reforming health care. It's about another Patriot Act.
Well, the problem being is, yeah, they didn't want Coakley, and she was the state's attorney general. So the important thing that people need to remember about this, just based on the knowledge that the general public has there in Massachusetts, this was a major leap for them because that was Ted Kennedy. They voted him. I don't even, RJ, do you even know how many terms they voted him in as senator for?
In that Senate seat, another Republican has not been there, I think, at least for 40 years.
So to the best of their ability and knowledge base, they said, okay, here was one of the grandfathers of health care that has been pushing for this, pushing for this, pushing for this. All of a sudden, they decided they were going to go the Republican route. Somehow that was going to save them. The only problem is that the guy that is going to occupy that seat in the Senate, the guy's a neocon.
Oh, I look at him, and he is no statesman, okay?
Yeah.
He is not a statesman, and he's not a person that you could take a look at him like a Washington or a Jefferson or a Madison. He's just a cog, but he will not cast a vote for this health care reform. This thing is going to go down in flames, okay?
Well, yeah, and you know, what I've said about the health care reform, as important as this was to a lot of people to see this thing go down in flames, as you said, go down in defeat, which it looks like it just may. I believe is nothing but another wag the dog scenario. Why the bankers realign themselves, continue to destroy the country, put us massively in debt, and to break the back of this country.
I think that there's evidence that this whole healthcare charade is kind of like a Monica Lewinsky thing, has kept us so preoccupied with this thing that the other activities that they have done, for example, these new executive orders, the executive orders that these happened just weeks ago, just the week before Christmas, the executive orders that, again, put post offices across this country, give them the responsibility for this forced inoculation. They bring in Interpol to freely roam this nation and to do as they will without any constitutional protection from them, or rather for us from them. It's just amazing, the new executive orders that are moving. So, you know, it's clear. It's not about Obama. And I hear people talk about, you know, it's like, you got to pick your fight carefully, okay? And Sam Kennedy, he's so awesome, the battle he's fighting. You got to pick your fight carefully. But Obama was not born in America, but I don't think we're going to remove him. I've been pretty much calling him professor. And imagine, he was a professor of the Constitution, right?
Yeah.
So the point is, this guy knows what he's doing.
Oh, he certainly does. And the while they have the workers of the dirty deeds in there, isn't it strange how they'll start using the race card? That if you're against his socialistic ideas for America, that if you go against that, well, then you're automatically relegated to being in the hater state. You're a racist, no. RJ. You, did you know that? You're a racist.
You know, it's interesting about Barack because he's not a black man, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I hear people call him, you know, that he's black this or black that.
Yeah.
You know, he's half white.
Yeah.
So when he's standing in front of us, are we looking at a black man? No, we're looking at a white man, too. And who the hell are we to call him a black man? Excuse me. You know, there's much more. And socialism is so watered down. This fascist agenda that they're moving forward, this satanic agenda that they're moving forward. I need to quickly. I was named after my dad. Robert's the first name. And so the J in RJ comes from the junior. I was called Robert F. and Robert Hender Jr. And in the mornings, pretty much, I've already decided I don't know all the answers. And I just love getting to ask questions. And in the morning, I just love bringing people who have the doctorate degrees, who have done the research, who have done the work, just like as a reporter I have done for years already, and as a commentator for years. About 10 years ago, you invited me to join RBN, and I just love every morning to bring new people to these microphones and to talk about what we can do to make a difference. And the last 2 days have just been outstanding. A couple of days I talked with Teresa Hall. She's from Texas. And thousands and hundreds of thousands of Texans have been standing up and saying, hell no, to this trans-Texas corridor thing. Yeah. And it looks like that may go down in flames as well. It is just so cool. And Catherine Albrecht, I talked with her as well, talking about RFID. Mm-hmm. And also she's aware of what Americans are doing. not capital C citizen or lowercase c citizen. Americans are doing. We were born here. This is our country, and it is time that we lay claim to what is ours. This is our country. Americans have been taking a stand in Oklahoma, in Texas, in Massachusetts, and all across this country, so they may have their intention to finish this thing on December of 2012. Just because they say the end of the world is coming does not mean the end is coming.
That's right. It's been around for a long time. It's going to be around a lot longer. Hey, RJ, thank you so much for getting up early in the morning and doing the morning program here on Republic Broadcasting, and I'm glad to hear that you're getting those international calls. You're in a little different time than I am. I'm in later on in the day, so you're able to snag those calls because of the time zone differences, but I'm very glad to hear that. And RJ,
I appreciate the invitation to be at RBN, and I do my best every morning, and I just love, it is my fun, bringing these experts, these world-renowned people with, they have done the research, they have the evidence, they have documentation, and I just get to ask them questions every morning. It is so fun. Thanks for the invitation.
All righty. Hey, RJ, thank you so much. I appreciate it, my friend.
All right. Catch you later.
Take care. All right, a new tally here. Let me get out the CalCompuger, reaching across the counter and being a bad host and walking away from the microphone. But it was necessary. Okay, here we go. Total right now, 800. And add 5 to that. Add 5 to that. $5? 500. I knew that, but I just wanted to clarify. $1,358. We are, so we're still $7,238 short of the goal to pay the back bills for the network, to get on an even standing here when we tackle, the elected representative network, which is going to be dynamic, folks. It's going to be a lot of fun. The fur is going to fly. Trust me on this one. But it is something that has never been done in radio history. And we're going to make history. We're going to make history by restoring the Republic, folks. We're going to be bringing on people that understand exactly what the threat of the Fed is to the respective states. And until we take these states back and we have the sovereignty of its citizens within those respective boundaries, then we don't have a ghost chance. Unless we organize, unless we educate, we need to take it to the people. And that's what we're going to do. I can see no other recourse short of the Second American Revolution. And as I said, we don't have enough educated people out there. There'd be a hell of a lot of good people to be willing to offer their life up. They'd be going down. And we'd be no closer to getting this country back on a constitutional track. They're starting to wake up, but they need to be educated fully as to what has been going on, how it's been done, and more importantly, I love using this word, solution. That is such a nice word, solution. Keep that in your mind, folks, because that's what we're after. We're after the solutions. We've had enough bad news. We need the victories. We need the battles to be won for the ultimate thing to be done, and that's restore this country intact. And you heard me, intact. Secession, that's only going to buy you a little time. The globalists are not going to leave you alone. They're not going to leave you alone in your home, for God's sakes. What makes you think they would leave you alone sitting in a state? not going to happen. Here's the last installment. It's only 2 minutes and 51 seconds. Call 800-724-2719, folks. Make that donation. You heard me say it. We're still $7,238 short. Do we have anybody that's pretty well healed out there that wouldn't miss? Make me go away in one phone call. 800-724-2719. Search your heart. Search your conscience. Search your bank account. Look in your pocketbook. What do you got? There's a lot of people here, they can only donate $10 or $20 or $30 or $40. Can you make a difference out there? I just saw 700 Club just collect $380,000. And I thank Pat Robertson that owns that network. I don't think he has to do pledge drives. That man is more than wealthy. He could use up his money and probably until the day he died, and then leave a good portion to his son to continue the ministry. We're only looking for $7,238 to be an integral part of helping to restore this country. Will you take the challenge? Do you want your freedom? Here's the last segment of Sal Bucci's 2010 forecast.
Thyself, nor your enemy, and you will be defeated all the time. Why do I say this? We need to know who we are, and we need to, above all, know the enemy. We need to take on a different attitude, which is very different from the attitude imposed by globalization. We need to have greater clarity in our minds, more generosity towards our fellow men, whether they be neighbors or the people in another country. We need to have greater foresight. We become extremely short-term in our thinking. Start thinking long-term. Long-term requires clarity. It requires calm. It requires thinking in terms of years, decades, and generations. And when you think in terms of generations, you automatically become generous because you know that you will not be there to see it, but that good things have to often start now so that people can see it 50 years from now. Go back to the old concept of time. The cathedral builders built for centuries and millennia. They were not going to see the cathedral ended, but it's no problem. They built for millennia. Same with the Romans, same with the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Persians, the Chinese, the Indians, the Incas, the Maya. I will personally be following up all these matters. I will be following up and putting together the pieces, and I will share them with you. This veritable zodiac of processes that I have just described, they will hold the keys to the future, and perhaps they will hold the keys to our survival. Again, 1, financial meltdown. 2, economic collapse. 3, social upheavals deriving from the financial and economic collapse. 4, pandemic scares. 5, a mega terror attack with a weapon of mass destruction. 6, environmental and global warming scare. 7, the inevitable war in the Middle East unleashed by Israel. 8, a nuclear accident somewhere. 9, the assassination of a key political or religious figure somewhere in the Western world. 10, beat up a rogue state so that everybody will know what's coming and understand the force of power. 11, a numinous religious event staged electronically. And 12, alien contact staged electronically. So, my dear friends, stay alert. It's time to break mental paradigms. Let's fight with the joy of battle. Above all, this is a war for your mind, and it pits the resistance against the collaborators. Resistance are the people who think with their own mind and try and do something about it, like you and me. Collaborators are the ones that do nothing, just sitting in your living room with your can of Duff beer and the control room, remote control of your TV set is doing nothing. It's being collaborator. But above all, know thyself, know thy enemy. Good night and good luck.
Know thyself and know thy enemy. Boy, I'll tell you what, we're getting to know them way too intimately because they're now starting to show their face. Much time we have left? About 2 minutes. All right. Folks, again, we're in the middle of a pledge drive. Please donate. 800-724-2719. I'm going to be on the road. I'm going to be out of pocket Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. I've got to go make a trip up to Missouri to go talk to the people that helped me with the Elected Representative Network. I think Alan Watt will be sitting in for me Monday if we can snag him. Okay. And Tuesday and Wednesday, I don't know yet. So at any rate, busy, busy, busy. Miles to go before I sleep, that's for sure. 800-724-2719. Call us today with your pledge.
With recent international